I personally would like to think that it's because of an election being stolen.
Thank you. Good morning, folks. You're Lost in Paradise with yours truly, Angel Baby, here at killradio.org. And you just heard Last Night by the Marquise. That's a new 45. I got it for like 99 cents. It's really beat to shit, but it actually plays pretty well, which I'm really happy about. Before that was Rawhide by Link Ray and the Ryman. And then starting off the show today was Dig by the Viscounts. And let's see, I've heard other DJs, contemporary disc jockeys who also have radio shows, internet radio shows, who open their shows with instrumental sets, and they sound pretty cool, so that's what I did today. And plus, stay tuned because I have a special guest, which I'm very excited about. Next up, I've got a song that's actually dedicated to Dick Blackburn, who heard me spin Casting My Spell by Johnny Kidd and the Pirates maybe last week, maybe the week before. And he had informed me that Johnny Otis had cut that record as well. And I told him I would try to find it, so I did. Next up is going to be Casting My Spell by Johnny Otis, which was in 59. And then it's going to be followed up by Johnny Kidd's version, which was in 64. So here we go.
And threw them in a pot, 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 pot. I took a blue snake, a green snake, and tied them in a knot, 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 knot. I took a hawk jaw, a dog's paw, and hung them on the line, 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 line. I took a horse hair, a green pear, and made a crazy sign, 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 sign. I'm casting my spell on you. I'm casting my spell on you. I'm casting my spell on you. You'll never, never be untrue. A goat's tooth, an old shoe, and put them in the ground, 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 ground. I took an old dish, a dry fish, and made a crazy sound, 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 sound. I took a goose egg, a frog leg, and hid them in a sack, 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 sack. I got a Hindu to tattoo, a genie on my back, 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 back. I'm casting my spell on you. I'm casting my spell on you. I'm casting my spell on you. You'll never, never be untrue. Hey. Them in a pot, 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 pot. I took a blue snake, a green snake, and tied them in a knot, 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 knot. I took a hawk jaw, a dog's paw, and hung them on the line, 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 line. I took a horse hair, a green pear, and made a crazy sign, 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 sign. I'm casting my spell on you. I'm casting my spell on you. I'm casting my spell on you. You'll never, never be untrue. 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 You'll never, never be untrue.
A black cat, cape bat, threw him in the pop, 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 pot. I took a blue snake, a green snake, tied him in a knot, 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 knot. I took a hawk's jaw, a dog's paw, hung him on the line, 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 line. I took a horse hair, a green pear, made a pretty sign, 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 sign. I'm casting my spell on you. I'm casting my spell on you. Casting my spell on you. You'll never, never be untrue. Hey! Tooth, an old shoe, hit them in the ground, 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 ground. I took an old dish, a dry fish, made a pretty sound, 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 sound. I took a goose egg, frog's leg, laid them in a sack, 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 sack. I got a Hindu tattoo, genie on my back, 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 back. I'm casting my spell on you. I'm casting my spell on you. I'm casting my spell on you. I'll never, never be untrue. Black cat.
snake, tied him in a knot, 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 knot. I took a hawk's jaw, dog's paw, hung him on the line, 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 line. I took a horse hair, green pear, made a pretty sign, 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 sign. I'm casting my spell on you. I'm casting my spell on you. Casting my spell on you.
You'd never, never be untrue, boy. You'd never, never be untrue. Boy, you'd never, never be untrue. You'd never, never be untrue.
That was Lukey Dookey by King Coleman. Before that was Do the Holly Golly Part 1 by King Coleman. And then before that was Do the Mashed Potatoes Part 1 by Nat Kendricks and Swans, vocals by King Coleman. I had heard this song, The Holly Golly, and it sounded so familiar to the Mashed Potatoes, and lo and behold, it was by basically the same artist. I'm not quite sure what the history is behind it. Mashed Potatoes was done in 59, The Holly Golly was done in 61, and Lukey Dookey was done in between in 1960. So I don't know if The Holly Golly was like an answer song to the Mashed Potatoes, but either way, same type of rhythm. And then starting off that set was Casting My Spell by Johnny Otis in 59, then following Johnny Kidd and the Pirates in 64, dedicated to Dick Blackburn for letting me know that Johnny Otis had cut that record. It's really great. You can Google the song and find the lyrics online, and the lyrics are pretty unique. And I guess that was kind of a little mini King Coleman set anyways. But I wanted to let you know that Casting My Spell and Do the Holly Golly was from The Hound, a DJ from WFMU who was on the air in 85 to 95, roughly. There is a site where you can listen to his shows and actually download the individual songs, which is awesome. Mr. Wiggles, my friend in Chicago, who's given me a lot of my music and shares a lot of music with me, told me about the site over a year ago, and it's taken me this long to actually download music and play it on the show. It's a really great resource. It's not, they're MP3, so they're not the greatest quality, but some music is really hard to find, and he has some really unique stuff. So if you like what I'm playing, it's a great site to kind of navigate and listen to the music and download it. So I guess that's it. Also, stay tuned. My special guest will be coming up soon, who's here today. But next up, I wanted to do another kind of Hound set because I was having a lot of fun finding music. So next up is Monkey Man by Baby Huey and the Babysitters.
chauffeur driven Cadillac. TV table corner by hook up in the back. That I never knew. I've been with the players called an atomic set. Because I'm bona fide, certified, qualified, know where it's at. I'm a homeboy. That's all Mr. Wiggles is. I don't want no Cadillac. All I want is a mule. I don't want no silk suit. All I want is some beer. I was born pigtail tied knots, pork chops real, real hot, chillin' covered mustard, ham, hung over potato custard. I'm a homeboy. I'm from down in Richmond, VA. It old fat by singing Mr. Wiggles home, and I'm proud to say, yes, I'm a homeboy. That's all Mr. Wiggles did. I'm just an old fatback singing homeboy. Yes, I'm proud to be a homeboy. I said a homeboy.
The time and rhyme is 10:28, and we're rocking and socking simply great. You know the rule, flapping and flying, that's all right, but never any crying. Mad Daddy Giggle Jiggle with you. On we go, we Scooby-Doo. Is this an uplifting show? Why, sure. All the cats are sending me literature. Here's a sample we think is ample from one of the craziest ever born. A real mellow jello thumper, Little Big Art Horn. He says, once upon a time, there was a rock in the sea. I mean, in the sea of Hoopla D. Then one day, a skin diver swam by. He picked up the rock and my, oh my. From under the rock came a thing that couldn't be. A monster who called himself the creature from Hoobladi. The skin diver gave him a shot in the head and then found out the monster wasn't dead. Up from the sea came the creature from Hoobladi. Came to WJW in Cleveland, oh gosh, oh gee. And now you know the creature of Hoobladi. Who he be? Of course, it's Mad Daddy, you see. All right, that's a fine line from Little Art. He wants to hear Blueberry Sweet, and so out it goes for these outer space scouts. Well, Chip and Gloria, Tiger and Ron, and maybe for Terry, too, and for Little Dave, and also for Fred and Dick and Tom and the Knights of Parma, for the backroom boys of Armstead High, and we're going to flip-flop and fly, especially for Sandy of AMRAP. Hee-hi-ho-ho! Let the mellow jello flow!
That was the Mad Daddy. He is my special guest today, and I guess I fooled you, didn't I? I don't really actually have a live guest in the studio. Well, the Mad Daddy is here in spirit. Mr. Wiggles gave me a copy of this CD of his sound checks a long time ago when I actually started Lost in Paradise or DJing on internet radio, and he thought it was important for me to hear, which it was. Back then, I didn't think it would be something interesting to play on the air. I don't know why, but I guess I was listening to it the other day, just seeing how he mixed things up, and I thought it'd be really great to kind of dedicate a show to him and actually kind of give some history to disc jockeys, because I was doing some research and found out some really great stuff that I found fascinating, so hopefully you will too. But before I get into all that, I'll just read off what I had played before. Before that was Can't Go On, Rosalie by Dion and the Belmonts. Before that was Homeboy by Mr. Wiggles, where my friend Mr. Wiggles actually gets his name from. They're two completely different people. Before that was Coney Island Baby by The Excellence. And then starting off the set was Monkey Man by Baby Huey and the Babysitters. That was a Hound set. You can get this music from thehound.net. He doesn't actually do the site. I think it was his listeners, maybe friends or fans of the show, that have uploaded his shows to this website, and you can download the music and listen to his shows. He's not on the air anymore, which is unfortunate, but there is a current DJ, Rex, who does a show, Fool's Paradise, as well on WFMU, who's really great to listen to and kind of, I guess, took the Hound's place. So if you like what you hear, here at Lost in Paradise, you'll definitely like A Fool's Paradise. And I didn't know this show existed before I gave the title to my show. But either way, great to listen to Rex. I don't know why I haven't publicized him before. But either way, so that's a little info for you. But I guess I'll get started with the Mad Daddy. The CD is called Wavy Gravy, which is, of course, on Norton Records. They do a lot of really great reissues, or I guess repros of old music and compilations. And it's subtitled Adam Smashin' Zoomeradin' Mellow Jello Radio Broadcast 1958 to 1964. This disc collects nearly an hour of sound checks by Pete Mayers, the Mad Daddy of Cleveland in the glory days of AM rock and roll radio. Sometimes credited as the originator of the term rock and roll itself, Mayers blew into Cleveland on the heels of the legendary Alan Freed and established himself as the boss jock in town with his free-form, improvised poetry and try-anything broadcast daring do. With an amazing command of the English language and the ability to create a language of his own when English couldn't get the job done, he was a favorite of fans and advertisers alike, although he had some less favorable run-ins with station management from time to time. This is not only valuable archival footage from a seminal era in radio history, it's more fun, though. More fun than a bucket of mellow jello and a gallon of winky blinky juice. Those are probably just some quoted terms or terminology that the Mad Daddy actually used. But like I said, I was on the internet, which is one of the greatest places to be, surfing the net, and I found some info that I found really fascinating that I guess I wanted to share today. So let's see, the pre-DJ history period, 1877 to 1943, Thomas Edison invents the phonograph in 1877 and the history of recorded sound begins. While one can argue that Reginald A. Fesden became the first broadcast DJ by broadcasting Christmas music in 1906 near Boston, Massachusetts. We don't see the first club DJ emerge until 1943. In fact, the first club DJs weren't humans. A popular dance in the early 1900s called juking resulted in the popularity of coin-operated jukeboxes invented in 1889, which I had no idea they dated that far back. A juke joint became known as a place for dancing, drinking to jukebox music during the 1920s. The first wave, 1943 to 1969, Jimmy Savile launched the world's first DJ dance party in 1943 by playing jazz in the upstairs function room of the Loyal Order of Ancient Shepherds in Oatley Oak, England. Savile saw 210 people attend his first night. As Savile was breaking ground in the UK, we began to see clubs opening in France and other parts of Europe immediately after World War II. Many of these discotheques, French word for record library, another thing I had no idea that that's what the word meant, either couldn't afford live bands or wanted authentic American music. Thus, they relied on records to entertain their clientele. According to Dick Clark, the first disco was probably a little dive that couldn't afford a band. However, some DJ historians believe that the first disco was the Whiskey a Go-Go in Paris, 1947. During the 1950s, American radio DJs would appear live and assume the role of a human jukebox at sock hops and or platter parties. These DJs would usually play 45s on one turntable while talking between songs. In some cases, a live drummer was hired to play beats between songs to maintain the dance floor. In 1955, Bob Cassie, a well-known sock hop DJ, introduced the first two turntable system in order to have continuous music. At roughly the same time, European clubs were importing American rock and roll records, which contributed to the growth of discotheques. Nightclubs and discotheques continued to grow into the mid-1960s. However, by 1968, the number of dance clubs started to decline. In 1969, Francis Grasso, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, though not the inventor of the beat mix, popularized beat matching for an extended period of time at New York Sanctuary Nightclub. That same year, most American discos either closed or were transformed into clubs featuring live bands. There seems to be several reasons why the first wave came to an end. First, the sound and lighting of the 1960s disco environment was not sophisticated enough to maintain interest. Second, the Vietnam War changed popular music in favor of socially conscious protest rock and folk music. The early 1970s was a period of social, political, and economic uncertainty, and many people weren't in the mood to dance. Now, that's all info off a website. I'm not sure how much of all that is factual. And I was born in the early 80s, so as far as why, you know, the music stopped or why clubs closed, I really couldn't give you much of an answer. But I'm sure there's people out there that have their own idea. But either way, back to the Mad Daddy, which kind of inspired my whole research of disc jockeys. Pete Mad Daddy Mayers was overshadowed by big names such as Alan Freed and Dick Biondi, and unfortunately has been overlooked by most rock and roll history. He was one of the strangest DJs in the Northeast during the time at WHKK Akron in 1957 and WJW and WHK Cleveland in 1958-59. As Mad Daddy, he had a frantic, rapid-fire pattern delivered entirely in rhythm. He coined phrases still used today, such as wavy gravy, mellow jello. He played an eclectic mixture of rock and roll and rhythm and blues, featuring such old oddities as Andre Williams, The Greasy Chicken, Ghost Satellite by Bob and Jerry. He wrote his own commercials, creating some classic rhyming ads for Gillette adjustable razors, some stuff that I'm going to be playing later on. But first, I guess I wanted to give a little info about Alan Freed. I think it's kind of a little interesting and maybe somewhat important. And then I'll go back to the Mad Daddy, and then I'm going to play some of his sound checks. One of the most important popularizers of rock and roll during the 1950s, Alan Freed was the first disc jockey and concert producer of rock and roll, often credited with coining the term rock and roll in 1951. Ostensibly, to avoid the stigma attached to R&B and so-called race music, Freed opened the door to white acceptance of black music, eschewing white cover versions in favor of the R&B originals. Leo Mintz, a local record store owner, saw an increasing number of white teenagers buying rhythm and blues records at his store. Based on these observations, Mintz suggested to Freed that he should begin playing these records. On July 11th, 1951, calling himself Moondog, Freed went on the air and became among the first to program rhythm and blues for a white teenage audience. Other small stations followed, eventually forcing the larger stations to join in. Due to the prejudices of the time, Freed began calling the rhythm and blues records he played rock and roll. What is ironic, that term Freed was using to make rhythm and blues more acceptable to a white audience was slang for sex in the black community, which I had no idea. Very fascinating. I'll definitely use rock and roll, that term, much more. Anyways, in 1951, a black vocal group, the Dominoes, recorded 60 Minute Men, which was a number one R&B and number 17 pop hit. The lyrics were highly suggestive and used rock and roll in the lyrics. Freed began using the term a month later and most likely was inspired by this song. Freed would name his show Moondog's Rock and Roll Party. The show's success led to Freed's March 1952 Moondog Coronation Ball in Cleveland. Top black acts were booked for the show. 6,000 fans crashed gates in addition to thousands already in 10,000-seat hall. Two-thirds of the audience was white. The Cleveland Arena, I guess, turned into a riot from what I hear, and went for too many listeners filled the hall, and I guess Freed had to go on to the air and apologize the next day. In 1957, ABC TV gave Freed his own nationally televised rock and roll show, but an episode on which Frankie Lyman danced with a white girl enraged ABC's southern affiliates, and the show was canceled, which is awful. Freed's first real problems began when he put on a show at the Boston Arena in 1958 that resulted in his being charged with incitement to riot. Though the charges were later dismissed, but WINS failed to renew Freed's contract. The indictment enforced him into bankruptcy and would just be the beginning of Freed's legal problems. In 1959, the U.S. House Oversight Committee, at the urging of ASCAP, began to look into DJs who took gifts from record companies in return for playing their records on their shows. Though a number of DJs and program directors were caught in the scandal, the committee decided to focus on Freed. Freed's broadcast alliances quickly deserted him. In 1959, WABC in New York asked him to sign a statement confirming that he had never accepted payola. Freed refused on principle to sign and was fired. On February 8th, 1960, a New York grand jury began looking into commercial information in the recording industry, and on May 19th, 1960, eight men were charged with receiving $100,016,580 in illegal gratuities. This probe would lead to Freed being charged with income tax evasion by the IRS. Freed was the only DJ subpoenaed by the Oversight Committee and refused to testify, despite being given immunity. Trial began in 1962 and ended with Freed pleading guilty to 29 counts of commercial bribery, though only received a $300 fine and a six-month suspended sentence. His career would be over. Forced to leave New York, Freed would work briefly at KDAY, owned by the same company that owned WINS in 1960 in Los Angeles, but when management refused to let him promote live rock and roll shows, Freed left the station and returned to Manhattan I'm not quite sure what that word is, a live Twist review. When the Twist craze cooled, he looked on as a disc jockey at WQAM, Miami, Florida, realizing that his dream of returning to New York radio was just that. Freed's drinking increased, and the Miami job lasted only 2 months. March 15th, 1964, Freed was indicted by a federal grand jury for tax evasion. The IRS claimed that Freed owed $37,920, taxes on unreported of $56,652 for the years 1957 to 59. Living in Palm Springs, California at the time, Freed was poor, unemployed, and unemployable. Before he could answer the charges, he entered a hospital suffering from uremia. I'm not quite sure what that is. Alan Freed died January 20th, 1965, a penniless, broken man. He was 43. Freed truly loved rock and roll, claimed to have never played a record he didn't like, and never forgot where the music came from. However, he was a flawed man who claimed songwriting credits that weren't his, paid performers on his tours very little, and associated himself with questionable individuals. So all that info was quite interesting to me, especially kind of the history of rock and roll, which is stuff that I should know, but I don't know. And just to add, I had played the Moonglows. Did I play them? No, I haven't played that. I haven't played them yet. I'm going to be playing them later in the show. But Alan Freed gave the Moonglows their name. They were actually originally called the Crazy Sounds. But I just wanted to throw that trivia in. Let me see how I'm doing on time. Okay, so I'm going to read a little more about the Mad Daddy, and then I'm going to play some of his sound checks. In January 1957, Pete Mad Daddy Mayers joined the station of WHKK 640 AM in Akron. His Mad Daddy persona later was adapted by Ernie Anderson for his Gullardi character on sister station WJW-TV in 1961. And I'm going to read a quote from him later. Mayer's show was heard nightly from 8 p.m. to 12:30 a.m. Mayer's had a brief but melodic career at WJW, lasting until May 13, 1958, when he resigned to go to Metro Media's WHK, which was establishing itself as a new top 40 powerhouse in Cleveland. Let's see, WJW enforced a 90-day non-compete clause, and Mad Daddy could not be heard on WHK until August 10th. To keep his name in front of the public while he was off the air, Mayers concocted a publicity stunt on June 14th, 1958, parachuting from a Piper Cub 2200, a Piper Cub 2,200 feet over Lake Erie, and composing a poem on his way down. And that was in 1958. He was fished out of the water shortly thereafter and handed out copies of the 45 record Zorro to hundreds of fans who greeted him when he got to shore. Some initial reports of the stunt incorrectly stated that Mayers did not survive the jump, but they were quickly revised. Mad Daddy reached the peak of his popularity at WHK, which was in 1958, hosting record hops and live after midnight shows dressed in a Dracula costume. In July 1959, he moved to WHK's sister station in New York, WNEW 1130 AM, where Mad Daddy was not well received. He played it straight as Pete Mayers until 1963, when he moved to WINS and resumed the Mad Daddy show. The show was syndicated to other stations until WINS changed format to All News in 1965. As again, just Pete Mayers returned to WNEW once more. Mayers lived until November 4th, 1968, when he took his own life in New York City, shortly after he had been let go at WNEW. Cleveland's very first tour host was equal to legend Pete Mad Daddy Mayers, whose influence was felt by both Anderson, who worked with Mayers in radio. Mayers was a very popular radio DJ who talked constantly in rhyme, donning a cape with bat wings and hood. He became WJW's TV's shock theater host, presenting the Universal Greats from the 1930s and 40s, surrounded by a Mad Lab set and a constant flow of dry ice fog. So this is what Ernie Anderson has to say about the Mad Daddy. I knew him well. He came on every day after me on my radio show. He was terrific, brilliant cat. He was so brilliant that he killed himself. Lunacy man. I'm not quite sure what he means by that, but that's what he had to say. When Mad Daddy died in 1968, some people suggested it was the stale radio format he was forced into that drove him to it. Now, that's something I got off a website. I'm not quite sure how factual that actually is. I mean, for someone to to commit suicide. I mean, the rivers have to be running a little deeper than that, I'd think. But anyways, the CD given to me by Mr. Wiggles is a copy. So if you actually buy the Mad Daddy Wavy Gravy off of Norton Records, it probably came with a booklet of the history of him and something that's maybe a little more factual than me finding stuff off the internet. But either way, it was really fascinating, and, you know, one thing led to another. When I read about him, I read about Alan Freed and so on, and this is actually history I never knew but found completely fascinating. I mean, how couldn't you? So I'm going to kick into a set starting off with the Mad Daddy and some music that he might have played in his show, and then ending with him, and then I'm going to come back and talk about some other disc jockeys and some current disc jockeys that you should definitely listen to other than me, because they've been doing it for much longer than I have. So let me just see if I'm queued up. I am. So next up is going to be the Mad Daddy, where he's going to do some of his advertisements as well as spin a record, which I thought was pretty cool to hear some of the music that he actually plays. So stay tuned for that. And I guess I should let you know that you are Lost in Paradise with yours truly, Angel Baby, here at killradio.org every Wednesday from 9:30 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Mr. T is the man to see for auto seat covers of quality at the Auto Seat Cover Company.
Yes, indeedy, Mr. T is the man to see for Cleveland's top values on